Welcome to the City Point Church podcast. Thanks for joining us. Every day is an opportunity to take hold of. So we hope this message inspires you and builds your faith, that it helps you have more of a God perspective for your day. Enjoy.
Not a microphone yet. Can you hear me? Awesome. I am going to preach from the stairs today, just because it's a little bit unusual and it ties really beautifully into the message I'm going to bring today. Why don't we give it up for the band? And you can take your seats. Thank you so much. How awkward is this, having to watch me? For those people all the way over there, you're going to need like neck therapy at the end of today's message. No, I promise you, I won't preach from the corner in the dark for the whole time. Why am I standing in this space to start my message? Well, I've titled my message today, The Gap Between. The Gap Between. I love where I sit on Sunday mornings. If you're not sitting as far forward as you possibly can in the house of God, you're missing out on all the good stuff. I'm telling you that because every week, my family gets to sit right here on the altar. And I find it a privilege and an honor, not just because of the position that we carry and hold in our church, but because there is something beautiful about positioning yourself on the altar of God when you come into his presence. You know, I love the songs we sang today. Chris and Rachel do this to Gray and I every week. When we come to prepare a word, we find that these guys, without any communication, beautifully choose songs that support and get you ready in your spirits to hear the word of God. And we've been singing this morning about some of the things that I'm going to bring out in this message, but I want to talk about this really specific place that we often have in our lives. Many of you will be sitting in this space or standing in this space right now in your life, and it is called the gap between. The gap between. The gap between barren and the miracle. The gap between what God said and its fulfillment. The gap between a promise and it yet to be fulfilled. It's the gap between. The gap between impossible and possible with God. It's the gap between. This space here has a significant gap between moment for me. I'm going to explain to you what that is. A number of years ago, when Pastor Rick and Jenny pastored our church, there came a moment I was used to that space because I was a worship leader. But there came a moment where he said, I would like you to preach the word of God. And I'm going to describe to you what it felt like in this moment before I had to preach. Now, I was used to standing there for a different purpose. I was prepared in my content of what I was going to bring. I loved standing on the altar that day, operating in the gift I naturally do, worshiping. But something happened on the day that I first had to get up to preach the word of God in this moment. This came with so much more than what I anticipated it would on that day. As I took the first step up, now at our last church, they were much smaller steps on an angle, which didn't give me a lot of time to process it before I got it there. But before I hit that spot and delivered content or the word of God, I had this moment that, for those of you who are visual or you like to feel things, is not a great moment if you're about to speak. I stepped up onto the first step feeling very confident. If you know me, I'm a confident girl and I'll step out in confidence regardless of whether I'm scared to my wits or not. But I stepped up onto the first step and up my esophagus and into my mouth came a terrible, terrible feeling as I threw up inside my mouth. So then from the first to the third step, which is all the space I had in the gap between, I tried to swallow it. Are you feeling my pain?
Yeah. I felt it before.
And so When you normally preach the word of God for the first time, or if you've ever had any public speaking experience ever, you know you tend to go fairly rushed. I very purposely slowed everything down because I had to make this moment to that moment as long as I possibly can to swallow, to get rid of the horrible burning sensation that's now happening in my mouth, and to gain my composure before I preach about how Esther was born for such a time as this. So much happens in this space, the gap between. And we find in our lives that in this space, there is things that we can respond in or ways that God has set us up to operate in this space. This morning, I'm actually going to preach from 1 Samuel 1, and you can all adjust your necks now. And I didn't throw up this morning, so you don't have to process that while I share. But I'm going to share from 1 Samuel 1 this morning about a woman. If you've been around in our Faith, Love, and Hope season, you'll have heard me bring out little snippets about this woman's story. Her name is Hannah, and for those of you who don't know anything about Hannah's story, Hannah was just a woman in the Bible, in the Old Testament, who was one of two wives of a man named Elkanah, and he was the first wife, not the second wife, and she was very loved by her husband, but she had no children. His second wife was not as loved, but had lots of children. And that's pretty much the gist of Hannah's story. Now, that might seem where a number of you are just trying to get your head around that concept, the whole two wives and everything. No, that is not today's doctrine. I'd encourage you to just have one wife at this time. But this was a really big deal. This is culturally acceptable in this time. And for Hannah to not have children was a really big deal personally and culturally in this time. And so I would like to share from Hannah's story today, because many of you just a number of weeks ago pinned things on a cross when you came in here as you took a step of faith, believing for things that were impossible or are impossible in man's eyes, or maybe to your circumstances right now. You might have seen it happen for others around you, but it's not yet fulfilled in your life. I want to bring out what happened in the gap between Hannah's barrenness to the miracle of Samuel. And so I'm going to share first a personal story of Graham and I, because we have also in this season celebrated with you guys the miraculous that happened in our life, but maybe you don't know the gap between story. In 2019, it was the first time I put on a cross that I was believing for us to have a family home. That might seem absurd for you, for this couple of you who know just how long we waited for a home of our own. In 2010, in the GFC, just as the GFC happened, Graham and I happened to have two homes at that stage. Pre the GFC, just weeks before it, we had built a home, a beautiful new home, and then somebody had come in and robbed it while we were at church at a PM service, and we never went back to it. Led by fear, I didn't go back. We went to Mum and Dad's that night and didn't move out. She didn't say woohoo after that moment. Led by fear, we didn't go back to that home. Just down the street from their house was an incredible, incredible home that was being built that we were eyeing off. And it was definitely the dream in our hearts of the last stage of building that we would do as we were building and renovating for a certain goal in the size home. And two doors down from Mum and Dad was that goal. And so at that time, with a little bit of a lack of wisdom, we went, well, it's got to be the hand of God that's right there, right now. We bought a second home just weeks before the GFC. But our other home we'd moved out of was unoccupied, not yet on the market, but we had a plan that we were going to sell it and sell it fast. 12 months later, we were still sitting there with two homes and neither home had sold. And the GFC had happened. And so at that time, Gray and I got desperate. Both homes got put on the market for less than what they should have. And we sold both homes within 12 hours of each other on the same day, without even realizing both were going at the same time. But really, we needed to financially anyway. And so in a moment, we lost it all. We went from our goal home to nothing. And we were left with a debt. Fast forward on, 8 years later, I got brave enough to put a house on the Faith, Love and Hope Cross. And yet in the 8 years previous to that, I know that my husband was faithfully putting up on the cross, God, would you give us a house? So in my message today, I'm going to bring out the responses we can have, which you will very clearly see was the journey I walked in those in the gap between, and the faith steps that you can have in the gap between, which was what my husband did in that time. I'm not too proud to say that in that time, God did something in me and it was necessary. I believe that the 10-year journey wasn't so much for my husband, but for me. God uses everything. Everything. And he says it brings it about for our good. He brings it about for our good. Who I am today and what I have learned about his promises and how he operates was necessary to happen in my life. So for those of you who are sitting here today and going, but God surely doesn't bring that kind of stuff into your life, I don't believe that hard things are directly from him, but I do definitely believe he uses everything for our good. And so I want to unpack that story for a really big reason, because as I unpack Hannah's story, you will see the responses of her circumstances and then what she actually did, the way that we are to operate in the gap between. There are many reasons why we can get stuck in the gap. That's where I found myself in that 8 years. Just before the 2019 Faith, Love and Hope, I was standing at SWB 2018, and Pastor Leanne Matisius actually did a call out for pastors who were not in their own home to stand if they were, and that they would be in their home by the next year. And I didn't stand. I was literally the closest pastor to her on the platform. So if she was on, there was this walkway out here, she was standing right there, I was sitting right there, and I didn't stand. But man, I'm grateful that Carolina Gunza was sitting beside me and pushed me up. Sometimes you need to spend time with company that will push you up and encourage you for the way. It gave me enough courage to put it on a cross, and within 12 months we were in our own miracle, which was incredible. Thank you. There are many reasons why we can get stuck in the gap. Shame for our lack, that we should be grateful with what we already currently have, and we get stuck in the why we're in the gap. They're the three reasons. I want to break that down for a minute. Number one, shame of our lack. 1 Samuel 1:3 says this: each year, Elkanah and his family journey to the tabernacle in Shiloh to worship the Lord of the heavens and sacrifice to him. Just so that you are fully aware, to break this down really easily, this means to come and bring a great offering, the best of what they had, the best of the cattle or the best of the sheep, their first fruits, like what we did at Faith, Love and Hope, the best, the greatest sacrifice. Elkanah would celebrate the happy occasion by giving presents to Peninnah and her children. But although he loved Hannah very much, he could only give one present, for the Lord had sealed her womb. So she had no children to give presents to. Peninnah made matters worse by taunting Hannah because of her barrenness. Every year it was the same, Peninnah scoffing and laughing at her as they went to Shiloh, making her cry so much that she couldn't eat at the feast. Elkanah and Hannah were very, very much in love. However, Hannah was infertile. It's easy to speculate that because Hannah was unable to have children, Elkanah took another wife at Hannah's request. It's not written in the Word of God, but by custom, that is often what happened. As an atonement for their lack, the wife would actually encourage the husband to have another wife so that he would have heirs. Crazy. At that time, this was common practice. He loved Hannah more than his other wife, Peniah, but Peniah was remarkably fertile and gave birth to several sons and daughters. Elkanah was deeply in love with his barren wife, Hannah, instead of the fertile Peniah. Peniah hoped that her ability to provide children for her husband would make him love her more than Hannah. This caused substantial grief for both women, as you can obviously imagine. What a rift to have in a family unit. And you think your family unit is fractured. This is crazy. God can restore all things, right? One wife was barren and wanted children, and the other wife was fertile and wanted love. One can sympathize with their pain, not a problem. Instead of comforting one another, Peniah's jealousy caused her to torment Hannah, constantly mocking Hannah's inability to become pregnant. And this went on for years, the Bible said. During the Old Testament, childbearing was so important. Women who bore children were viewed as successful, and those women who couldn't, it was considered a sign of failure or even a curse upon them. This is one of the reasons why we can get stuck in the gap between barrenness and a miracle. Another reason why we can get stuck in the gap in between is that we think we should be grateful for what we have already. So truthful. That's how I found myself considering the place that we were in without a house. Although we'd experienced great loss, Graham and I have undeniably been ridiculously blessed our whole lives. Before our homes, in the gap in between, and post our miracle. We have noticed God's provision ridiculously in all of those seasons. And so a trap about being stuck in the in-between is to be grateful, is that you should just feel grateful with what you already have. That you have no expectation of more because you think, I should be content with just this. In verse 8, Elkanah says, "What's the matter, Hannah? Why aren't you eating? Why make such a fuss over having no children? Isn't having me better than having 10 sons?" He's a very confident man. But Hannah has an opportunity there to respond with, "You're right, I should be content in what I have." Except that she has a promise in her heart for a son, a desire in her heart. She can still see, or she is still hopeful for, a breakthrough moment, a miracle moment. The third reason why we get stuck in the gap in between is because we get stuck in the why of why we're there. That is most definitely a part of my testimony of why I believe it took 8 years to even get pushed up out of a chair at SWB. I was focused on the why. To be perfectly honest, I didn't, before men, want to be seen to do it again and fail. So it would be better just not to try again. Stuck in the why of why we found our circumstances there. In the text, we notice that Elkanah went to worship and sacrifice the Lord at Shiloh each year, which is very interesting because the story has shifted already to Hannah. But it goes back that Elkanah went to worship, which claims that it wasn't Hannah who led it there. It was Elkanah. Hannah did this yearly routine out of tradition in honoring her husband, that I walked. It would not be an overreach to assume that Hannah was upset with God. And I know that sounds crazy, but in verse 10, it clearly points out that God's approach towards God's presence was out of bitterness and grief. Why? Verse 5 clearly gives us a picture on why she would potentially actually have a grievance or a bitterness towards God. In verse 4, it says this, on the day when Elkanah sacrificed, he would go give portions to Penai, his wife, and all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he gave a double portion because he loved her, though the Lord had closed her womb. Crazy thought. To come to sacrifice and to give a great offering for Hannah was to come before the one who had closed her womb. It's an unusual thought to go, I would even have to, like, that's a big why to overcome. I'm going to come and put it out there in the natural to these days. It's giving a gift to somebody who has incredibly hurt you. It's holding you back. Not allowing you to step into the future. There are many people here who know that there is something that God has called them to do, and yet you will feel like a restraint, and maybe it looks like a person. This is how Hannah would have felt going each year, knowing that God had closed her womb. Hannah was only traveling to Shiloh because of Elkanah's faith. I feel that God performed this action to teach Hannah a lesson, because this is what he always does. He always has something to do in us, in every moment. He shows her that you must come to the Lord wholeheartedly and with sincerity in your prayers. Hannah began to focus on what society viewed in her. But God changed her circumstances when she began to focus on him. God's message was to show Hannah her personal responsibility of believing that it was him who would grant her fertility. Hannah went through many trials and tribulations to try to bear a child. Eli, the high priest, even considered her drunk and questioned her sincerity of prayers in the house of God. Hannah became very bitter and depressed towards God and didn't understand why this situation was happening to her. How many people can identify with that right now? Hannah, however, followed these very three specific steps around this situation. Her response to her circumstances, her response to her infertility, her response to a promise not yet fulfilled, is something for each and every one of us to action in the gap in between. And this is what I want to pull out this morning with three quick points. The first thing that Hannah did was that she trusted God with the plan. She trusted God. Before Hannah, there were three other women listed in the Word of God who endured the exact same story that she had of being barren. Sarah was the first, followed by Rebecca, and then Rachel. However, Hannah accepted God's promises with unwavering faith. The other three did not. I don't know if you've never read these stories before. Sarah's response to an angel standing before her is to laugh at him. Rachel said it could not be done. And Rebecca said it's my husband's fault. Nothing has changed in so many years. But Hannah did not have the same response. The first thing Hannah did was that she believed in God's word. Hannah never gave up, but she continued to trust that God would grant her a child. She went to the temple when everybody else had finished. She went to the temple because she knew who to go to about her need. In 1 Samuel 20, it says this, so in the course of time, Hannah conceived and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, because I asked the Lord for him. Not her husband, not Peniah to bear other children, but because I asked the Lord for him. Hannah trusted God without doubt or concern. Hannah's story teaches us that our faith in God allows him to bless us. Her trust in God as she turned to him, her deep desire for children and her faithfulness in bringing Samuel to God as promised are all evidences of God working in Hannah's life. Every person experiences circumstances that cause grief, disappointment. Many times we simply don't understand why the desires of our heart are not met. But in the life of Hannah, we see that God knows our hearts, that everything has a purpose, and that we can trust him. Our trust in him is not misplaced. And so here's the action after trust of who to go to. Here's the action that she did. And this is what we can take from Anna. She prayed. She sought the Lord and she asked for what she wanted. It says in verse 9, after they had eaten and drunk in Shiloh, Hannah rose. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat beside the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. She was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but will give your servant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all of the days of his life, and no razor shall touch his head. As she continued praying before the Lord, what a beautiful little line after the prayer. As she continued praying before the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was speaking in her heart. Only her lips moved, and her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli took her to be a drunken woman. And Eli said to her, how long will you go on being on the drink? Put your wine away from you. But Hannah answered, no, my Lord, I am a woman of troubled spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have been pouring out my soul before the Lord. Do not regard your servant as a worthless woman, for all along I have been speaking out of great anxiety and vexation. That's huge. Then Eli answered, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition that you have made of him. And she said, let your servant find favor in your eyes. And the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. There it is. There is a gap between the barrenness and the miracle. There's a gap between the impossible situation that you're believing God for and the breakthrough. And right there is the key of how. It's the key of how. Hannah went before the Lord and she petitioned. Do you know what I love about this? It doesn't say that Hannah came in incredible faith with her eyes alight with fire and so excited. She didn't actually come with the joy of the Lord as your strength. But she knew where to go. She put her trust in God. I find it really interesting that it actually says in a verse just before it unpacks the temple story, it says that she never opened her mouth against Peniah. She didn't speak about it with Peniah. She didn't go to a friend. She trusted in God. She went to the source. God, I know it's you who can fulfill this. So she went to the source. And then she asked, and then she continued to ask. And she waited. It says she continued to pray, and she even told him exactly how she felt. I am here, and this is how I feel. This is what I'm believing for. But when she was told, go, may it be according to your faith, she got up. She simply trusted. Can you see the cycle? Okay. And it says she was not sad in her face anymore. The second thing Hannah did was to speak God in prayer. Hannah's prayer was filled with pleas of mercy and forgiveness to God for the bitterness in her heart. This prayer was a connection to God so that he could hear the plea of Hannah. Then Hannah persevered in prayer. Although Hannah did not understand the situation, she continued to pray to the Lord. Even Eli questioned her motives and misunderstood her, but she didn't let it get in the way of her blessing. I find it ironic that Eli questioned her first. The very person who questioned her potentially offended her. He called her a drunken woman in the house of God. I don't know how that would go down if I said to any one of you today, you appear drunk today. I think you should get off the drink. I'd lay low on the wine. I don't know if you'd come back and listen to me next week. I find it ironic that that person, Eli, who questioned her, why she was there and how she was doing it, was then also the one who turned around and spoke, informing her of her blessing. But there is a third thing that Hannah did that I find as remarkable. And this is a huge part of the faith, love, and hope season that each and every one of us are part of. Many of us participated on the day, but I'm sure if I asked for a show of hands right now, many of us made a vow on Faith, Love, and Hope Sunday. We vowed, this is what I'm committing to. As a part of seeing my breakthrough, as a part of this offering to the Lord, I'm making a vow before you, God, to do something. This is a unique thing that Hannah did in her journey that I wonder if we realize is a really important part of her miracle and her blessing. Verse 24, it says, then, though he was still small, they took him to the tabernacle. This is Samuel that we are talking about, the son that she bore, along with a three-year-old bull for the sacrifice and a bushel of flour and some wine. After the sacrifice, they took the child to Eli. Hannah says, sir, do you remember me? I'm the woman who stood here at that time praying to the Lord, and I asked him to give me this child, and he has answered my request. And so now, three little words, and so now I am giving him to the Lord for as long as he lives. So she left him there at the tabernacle for the Lord to use as he will. That's a huge sacrifice. There is only two other references in the Bible that I can see or I can find of people who were asked to sacrifice a son. And Abraham with Isaac was given a scapegoat. For those of you who have relationship with Jesus Christ this morning, you know who the second one was when God gave his son. But there's a third son here who was given as a sacrifice to the house of the Lord at 3 years old. Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands this week on who would be prepared to do that, because I did find out last week there are parents quite willing to drop their three-year-olds off for the rest of their lives. What am I pulling out of this? Hannah made a vow to God saying that she will give her son back to him. The very thing that in her prayer she said to God, if you would but give me a son, I will be content with that. Not to raise him to be a man, but I will give him back to you if you would but give me a son. I believe that God only wanted Hannah to have faith in his word. These steps that Hannah followed allowed God to prove that you, if you are willing to ask with the sincerity in your heart, then you will receive his blessing. God honored her diligence, her patience. Hannah became pregnant, gave birth to a son, Samuel. She kept him until he was weaned, about 3 years old. When the time came, she took him to the temple and fulfilled her vow, just as she had promised, and dedicated him to God's service in a special ceremony. Even at this stage, here's the craziest thing, for those who know what you could have culturally done at the time, even at this stage, she could have redeemed her vow by paying a large sum of money to the priests. But Hannah kept her vow. Hannah continued to visit Samuel as he grew into a man of God. But here's the most beautiful thing, because Hannah kept her vow, God blessed Hannah with three more sons, and two more daughters. A woman who had once been known as barren, a woman who had once been scorned, a woman who had known great heartache was now fruitful. She wasn't just living the miracle of Samuel, but she was so blessed beyond that, she ended up having more children than what Peniah ever had. I wonder what it is that God has asked you to give sacrificially. Is it as bold as Hannah? I pray not, because I've got a full enough house. I can't do any more three-year-olds. But I know that what he has asked each and every one of us is significant to us. Would we be willing to fulfill our vows? Because the blessing and the miracle that Hannah saw for her life went way beyond what I imagine she would have ever wanted or known for herself with five more children. In conclusion, God wanted Hannah to know the importance of his blessings. Even though God closed her womb, this did not stop him from blessing her with many children. God still blessed Hannah with a child in his time. In life, we can sometimes become discouraged and have a lack of understanding of God's work. Hannah's story illustrates the importance of having faith, placing our trust in God, praying and continuing to pray, and believing that he is the one who fulfills promises. Do you know, this is the last thing I really felt as I was preparing this message to bring out. In verse 19, it says this little key thing. It says, Hannah named him Samuel. For those of you who do not know the meaning of Samuel is asked of God. This was a play on words for this time in culture. For the word Samuel in Hebrew sounds like the word to ask. To ask. She named her son Ask. I asked of God. I asked of God. John 16, 23 says, in that day you will no longer ask me anything. Very truly I tell you, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now, you've not asked for anything in my name, but ask and you will receive. And this is the end of this verse. And then your joy will be complete. Do you know, I wonder how many of us have my story of 8 years of not being brave enough to ask. Maybe today is that time where you go, okay, I need to ask. I need to ask. I need to open my mouth and get brave. You are today found in his presence. I was sharing with the team this morning as they prepared. You are sitting today in the fulfillment of promise. And I'm not just talking about this building. You're sitting in his presence. You're sitting in his promise. For many of you, you have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. You are living out his promises. He said he would send his Spirit, and he's living in you. You are already operating from a place of promise. But would we get a brave ask on today? For some of you, maybe you've given up on it for the very reasons I say that help get you stuck in the gap in between. Maybe it's the shame of the gap. Maybe you think you should be content in what you already have. Maybe you're stuck on the why you're there. Can I tell you today, if you would get a brave ask, trust God with it. Trust God with it. Speak it out loud. Pray it and pray it continually. And fulfill your vow, you will know blessing and favor as Hannah did, as we have. That's not just for us. It was not just for Hannah. It is for you too. And I ask everybody here to close their eyes right now. love to pray over you all. Right now, Father, I pray you would stir in spirits right now. Brave, bold asks. Like Hannah, God, who's not content to remain in her circumstances, would we be brave enough to say, God, would you heal my body? God, would you restore my marriage? God, would you reconcile my family? God, would you call my son, my daughter home? God, would you have provision flow through my world? God, would you help me begin this business? God, would you give me a God idea? I don't know what to do from here. Maybe it's even more outrageous. Maybe you're believing for something that's completely impossible. Maybe right now you don't have a job, but you actually have a business in your heart. Would you say, God? God, make a way. Maybe the desire is for a husband or a wife, but you can't see any possibilities. There's nobody in your world. God, would you grant the desire of my heart, husband or a wife? I really felt this morning, as I was preparing this early this morning, that there are those who have asked God to heal their bodies, but you're still standing in the gap in between. Lord God, I pray for each and every one of those right now. Would you stir their spirits again to pray again, to seek you again, to be brave enough to ask, God, heal my body, restore it, make it new, make it whole. Lord God, we commit our lives to you. And we vow this morning, God, that it is in your presence right now that we will be those known to fulfill the vow even after we've received the miracle. Do you know what I'm gonna ask right now is that we're all on our feet. The team is just gonna lead us in this song that we sung before, this bridge that we sung. And if this word spoke to you this morning, maybe you've got a brave ask that's sitting in your spirit. Maybe you wrote it on the cross, maybe you didn't. That's okay. Would you be brave enough right now? I'm gonna open the altar right now. We are gonna close out the service really quick, very shortly. But if you have an ask and like Hannah, you're like, I'm just gonna actually bring this. I'm gonna open up the altar. You can take the time to come and talk to God about it. And it's gonna be open for a while after the service. Make some time to do so. Maybe you need healing in your body. Maybe you need a real miracle in your finances. I don't know what it is this morning, but would you be brave enough to ask this morning? Trust God with it. Come on, let's sing this.